brought to you by Carol Beck and broadcasting live from the Dallas Entrepreneur Center, The Deck at 311 North Market Street, Suite 200 in Dallas, Texas. It's time for Career Advancement Radio, providing information to help enhance your career. Now here's your host, Dr. Marilyn Carroll.
Good morning, guys, and welcome to our show today. Kamal and I are excited to be with you again today. And today's topic comes to us from Inc. And the title of the article before was The 8 Skills That Radically Improve Your Life. And Kamal and I really liked that article, and we decided to put our spin on it. And so here goes. And the article was by Ellen Kaplan. And again, that article was in Inc. A couple of weeks ago by Ellen Kaplan. So Kamal, go ahead. Good morning.
Good morning. So this article was very interesting to read, just because when I was taking a look at all of these different skills that can, you know, radically improve your life, they were so easy to implement into life. And it's interesting to see how, despite the fact that they are pretty easy to make part of your day-to-day routine, we kind of forget about them, or we kind of push them to the back of our heads, or just kind of forget that they exist. Mm-hmm. But if these are things that we can make a habit, even if we start off with, hey, we're going to take one skill today and see how we can really make this part of our day, that's a great way to kind of go ahead and start getting those skills to become part of your life and make them more than just a skill to practice, but a habit that you get.
Okay. So today, the 8 skills, we're not going to cover all 8 in today's show. We found that the topic was so important that we're going to divide it into 2 shows in order for us to cover all 8 parts. And today's sponsor for us is Carol Beck. And then tomorrow we'll have another sponsor for that, the second half of the show. But today's sponsorship is sponsored to us by Carol Beck. And also Carol Beck is a career consulting as well as a organization that manages talent acquisition and consulting. So as we get started today, we want to you all to prepare to listen. And tomorrow's show, make sure you tune in to the part 2 of this segment on skills that radically improve your life, because I think that you will understand why Kamal and I, from 2 different generations, feel as though it's very relevant to all of us, this particular topic. And so today in part 1, we're going to talk about scheduling around energy, the looking successful, getting started early, and planning everything in advance, making sure that you do advanced planning of your life. And so we are both going to give you our spin on scheduling around energy, each of the topics, looking successful, as well as what I stated earlier, so that you get a feel from both generations how that balance can come into play. And then I'm going to also give it to you from more of a professor standpoint, as well as a manager standpoint. Okay, come on. We'll let you get started.
Awesome. All right. So the first simple skill is to schedule around your energy. And for me, what I took away from that was allowing yourself the time to rest, to be distracted for a little bit. Especially when you have a very packed day, you know, taking some time to be able to say, hey, I'm going to take 15 minutes at the end of this hour just for me, whether it's to, you know, sit back and just listen to music, or to check your social media, or, you know, update whatever kind of accounts that you have. Taking that time to schedule around how much energy you actually have is very important. For me, as someone where social media is everywhere in my life, being able to say, okay, I'm going to spend a solid 45 minutes focused on what work I really have to do. And then at the end of that 45 minutes, take 15 minutes to say, hey, let me go check Facebook, or hey, let me go see what's going on Snapchat or Instagram. It makes me want to work when I have to work. It makes me more willing to be productive during those 45 minutes, because I'm not constantly thinking, oh, you know what, let me just check Facebook right now, or, oh, okay, let me, you know, do this other social media.
Yeah, I think I like what you're saying. I think you're saying, or I feel as though you're pointing to having scheduled time, making dedicated time to say, I'm going to work, as you stated, for 45 minutes. And then in my 15 minute down or away time, I will do all the others, checking the social media and all the other things. Instead, right now, as we sit here in the studio, we have our phones right here. And easily I can pick up and say, oh, let me see what's going on, and get distracted. And that could impede my energy on the topics that I have to, or the situations that I have to put that energy on at that moment. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. And, you know, knowing that, okay, I have a designated time slot for when I can go check, you know, whatever updates I have, that means that when I don't have to, like, I guess when I have to really think about what work I'm focusing on, I have all my focus drawn to that, because I know, okay, later on I'll have time to, I guess, goof off, quote unquote, to do whatever else I want for that allotted time period.
Okay. For me, scheduling around energy, for me, comes to the point of doing those things that require a good amount of energy, my best energy, and in order to get them done. For example, we do this show in the morning time, or we could do it at night, but that may be a bad thing. But my energy, my burst of energy is our first thing in the morning. And so I wake up about 3:30 in the morning, and I get a lot of work done. And then my next burst of energy, believe it or not, is around 10 o'clock at night. And then I get a lot of energy, and I'll do a lot of research at nighttime. In the morning time, though, I'm doing a lot of things that from 3:30 up until about 7:30, 8 o'clock in the morning, that requires me to give the best thoughts to and provide the most energy into in order for the decisions to be made, whether it's budgeting or coming up with a strategy or things of that nature from the research that I did the night before. That time for me is the best time to break out the best of me and to practice whatever it is we have to do. And then I get next burst of energy after those two periodically throughout the day. And so I know when to schedule the most draining or demanding meetings, so that I'm not at a point where I'm already drained in order to get that meeting done. I would say, from a school perspective, as a professor, I think that students a lot of times will schedule their studying time at the wrong times, as well as their class times. If you have an important class, don't go to that class, or try to choose a time if you can. And I know it's pretty hard with the scheduling at schools not being as flexible as they once were because of money and budget standpoint. But if I have algebra, and I know that algebra is my most complicated subject, I would not give it the worst part of my day. I would give algebra the best time of my day and attend that class at that particular time, because that's when my energy is the most focused. Okay, any questions on that? Okay. Next topic, looking successful. This is interesting. What do you think?
So looking successful, it's like dress to impress. You have to look the part, even if it's kind of fake it till you make it. You have to look the part, because as soon as you start looking the part, you automatically start to, you know, gain a little bit of confidence, and you walk into, whether it's a meeting or just your normal day-to-day job, just walking in with a little bit more confidence means that you're going to perform your task that much better, with that much more knowledge and understanding that, yes, I can do this. And what's very, very important about looking successful is also knowing who your audience is. Earlier in the day, you had brought up how the way people dress in the tech world is very different from the way people dress in the business world. Mm-hmm. And understanding that distinction is very important. If I am working for a tech company, a startup tech company, and I walk in the first day wearing a suit and high heels, no one is going to really take me seriously because that's not how things are done. You know, it's very casual. It's very, you come comfortably. Whereas if I were working for a corporate in a skyrise out in New York, if I walked in jeans and a t-shirt, I would get thrown out. You have to be very impeccably dressed. And so knowing how to dress for the occasion and for the audience that you're going to see or you're going to speak to, that's very, very important.
I totally agree. I couldn't have stated that any better. Dressing for success, you have to dress to part. I remember seeing a movie, I can't have Intern. And the guy was older. It was reverse internships where it was an older guy who had already retired and he was coming into a technology company. And it was run by individuals that were 30 or less. And when he went in, he was in a suit and he continued to wear his suit all the time. And so from that, some of the individuals working around him picked up on how the importance of the suit, the importance of the tie, the importance of the shoes from head to toe, what it means and what it amplifies on the other end, what people see. And I totally agree with that. We went where I teach, we went to a more casual dress because a lot of the schools in, around the area, the teachers, the instructors, professors come in with jeans and a shirt on. Well, that's okay for some classes. But for me, I know the image and I know the build that I'm trying to carry off and bringing together the students so that they understand what professional dress looks like. So even though I may take my flip-flops and I have them on now because I had to walk, but I always carry a pair, my heels and I put on those heels and I dress. And sometimes I'll put on jeans, but I notice the days that I put on jeans, I'm more relaxed. I don't, and relax is good, but I'm relaxed in a way that probably brings out other things in me that are not as professional and I don't look the part that I need to look or present the model that I'm trying to present at that particular time. So dressing is, I agree that you have to know the occasion and environment that you're in and why you need to be a particular way. And even if you are dressed if you're in a tech world and you're dressing a certain way, you have to make sure that your attitude and character doesn't look the way that you're looking in your dress. Case in point, if I'm in a technology company, for example, and I've been working around for a while and I know that my next step is I want to probably go into some type of leadership role or a director role, I would need to start making sure that my dress implied that even though I'm dressed down. So a nice pair of jeans, a more crisp shirt. And if I have on a tee, then maybe I have a jacket that I can throw over that so that my dress down becomes a more dressed up. And my belt, a lot of times in a casual dress with jeans, must present something more than I present just with a basic, you know, I wouldn't necessarily wear, for example, a $12 leather belt with a pair of jeans if I'm trying to look like I belong in another position, a $40,000 job or a $60,000 job or even an $80,000 job is different than a $125,000, a $250,000 job. You understand? So each brings with it different components. I think one of my friends is a COO of an organization. It's a male. And I have a female that's a COO of an organization, and they both are in technology companies. And as a COO, even though they're casual, they're very, very well dressed. Not that all of us could afford a pair of Gucci shoes, but for him, he's in a Gucci pair of shoes and he's in a button down versus a t-shirt. So I think that makes a big difference. Now, I think at times when he's in his office, he probably doesn't go to the dress button down. He keeps those available. But according to him, he most are dressed in a t-shirt, but keeps a jacket in his office. For her, she is, from a technology standpoint, she does casual dress, but it's very crisp. is if she has on a dress with a pair of sandals, and it may be her feet may, her toes may be out in the sandals, but they're very stylish. She looks very eloquent in walking down the hallway in something that I would see her maybe at the track, watching a race game or something. I would see her at the, maybe she's come to the club and she's just having lunch with some girls, some of the other girls. So I think that there's a big difference, and not to say that that is supposed to be the model, but in each of these areas in our life, we go down different paths, and our path from a day-to-day basis is maybe quite a bit different from an individual that's just entering the market, so to speak. Okay. So looking successful does play a part. Now let's go, I'll spend one more moment on that, because I do think, like you, that it's a very important. Looking successful when you go into a business, it matters. So the length of the dress, the length of, and I know this sounds old fashioned to some of you that may be listening, but trust me, these are things that work. They work so much so that I had to, in my career, I had to hire me a style coach to tell me, what am I doing? What am I doing wrong? And as far as my dress is concerned, because at one point I refused to spend over a certain amount of money for an item. I just refused to. But my staff would say, she's the manager, but she looks worse than us. And that's, so those were my beginning years. And so I hired somebody to tell me exactly what looked best on me and my body type and my body size. And they were able to share with me the things that looked best on me. And they were also able to share with me that my legs were my asset, and that when things are going wrong or not right, or when I walk into the room, I want my legs to be my asset with those heels on to, it may sound sexist, but it's not, guys. That is a distraction from something else that may I may be nervous about, something that's natural. It goes, kind of links it to the scheduling around energy, dressed around where your energy is.
And I totally agree. You have to dress around your assets, and especially dress up your assets. So for me, for my body type, I know that I have very long legs. And so I know that is where my main asset is. My legs are my asset, as well as my hips. So that means that I will probably be someone who wears, you know, tapered pants more often, or instead of opting for a skirt.
Very good.
Or something like that. And just have, even just having that much knowledge means, okay, that means I can piece together an outfit that is going to go well with these kinds of pants. Which means, okay, if I piece together a good outfit, that means I'm going to look great. But if my outfit looks great, that means my hair has to look great. And if I wear makeup, my makeup has to look great. So it's kind of like a chain reaction. Once you find that one thing that looks good, the rest of it kind of wants to fall into play. And in your own head, it wants to, your mind wants it all to fall into place.
That's
so
very,
I think,
interesting.
It's a very... it's a very different way of looking at self-confidence in a way.
Mm.
So I definitely agree that dressing successfully and looking successful makes a whole world of difference.
Very good. Very good. So let's move on to topic three, and that's getting started early. Mm. What are your thoughts?
So starting early, I have been trained to become an early morning person throughout middle school, high school, my grade school years. I actually was a swimmer. And so most of my mornings, I would wake up at 5 or 5:30 and I would have to go straight to swim practice, which was hard. Initially, it was very, very hard. But I started to notice that the days where I did have to wake up and go to practice that early, I was very productive the rest of the day, especially in school and my academia and things like that. It made me more focused on what my tasks for the day were. And it almost took less energy for me to keep the ball rolling from one task to the next.
Mm.
Whereas now, as a college student, I don't wake up that early. Generally, my classes start anywhere from 9 o'clock to 10 o'clock, which I still, in my opinion, early enough, considering, you know, you have a lot of people who wake up at 12 or they wake up at 1 and lose half of the day. And I think that's the biggest thing. When you wake up early, you're making the most out of all the time that you have in the day. You're making the most of your 24 hours. Whereas if you wake up late or if you sleep in too often, you lose so much time. And there are definitely days when you need to know, hey, I've had a very rough week. I've had a very exhausting week. I need time to rest. Even if it means I sleep 12 hours straight, I know my body and my mind need it. But along with that, you also have to know when things get going, starting early is what's going to really get your brain going.
Right. I like this particular topic because coming off vacation from last week, I realized, and being in a time zone that's 2 hours behind the time zone I live in, and then even living now in Dallas, which is 1 hour behind a time zone in Atlanta or the East Coast, it was a recognizable difference that I had to say to myself, you know what? I may be really a West Coast girl. Because of the times that I get up and I get things going, I had to train myself to start getting up at 3:30, 4 o'clock in the morning, which was very hard for me because I'm doing so many things in a day that I really only have 5 hours of sleep time per day. If I sleep more than that, and I notice doctors are out there saying, that's not good for you, Marilyn. But for me to get things done, I need to do that or else I will not get the type of rest I need. Now, there may be one day, it used to be Sundays, I would sleep in late, go to get up, do church, and then do other things. But now I FaceTime. I've made a point of FaceTiming with my son and my grandbaby. So I can't sleep in late because they're on the East Coast and I need to be up before they go off to church and get started on their day and get enough time because she gets up pretty early on the East Coast. So I need to wake up and connect with both Alex and Braylon so that they can see me and know what's going on. And I don't do the phone call. We used to do the phone call, but she didn't have a chance to opportunity to see my face and I didn't have an opportunity to see her face. So that was getting up earlier, but as I was on the, on the West Coast and waking up, I noticed a lot of things had already gotten started on the East Coast because that's where things start on the East Coast. But at the same time, you could wake up later, but you've missed so much of what has already occurred. And even though if I was in another country, I would miss a lot of things that had occurred. I live in this country, so I must be prepared to do a lot of things. And I'm not quite ready to go to bed at 5 o'clock in the afternoon. So I like it on one end, but I didn't like it on the other end that, okay, they've already ended their day and I still have much more time, but I still have things I want to talk to people about, but they've already ended their day today. And then let's bring this back around to getting started early and living in the Dallas area. I do notice that here in Dallas, many of the individuals that wake up in the morning, they get started about 6 or 7 o'clock. Because here, I notice that by 6 or 7 o'clock in the evening, people are with their family or at dinner. In addition to that, I also notice that people break down time so that they can go out and enjoy other people before they even get home to the family. So here, living in an environment where the time is more so dedicated to various things of importance to the inhabitants of that particular town, you have to adjust for time that way as well. So not only getting up early, getting started early with your day, but also getting started at a point where you understand in that environment what's early and what's late. Time and starting this is extremely important, especially knowing what it is you're trying to accomplish and where you're trying to go. The first person to get to a job a lot of times is the person that finds out a lot more things than all the rest of the people. The first person that gets to class, or individuals that get to class, normally get more of the professor's time than the other people that are getting in late and don't have to, and the professor don't have time because he or she has to move on to the next class. So getting up or getting started early, or starting early, period, and everything that you need to do is a good lesson for many of us, especially those of us that run on a late cycle. And our final topic this morning is planning everything in advance. And this is important. I'm going to start this one, if you don't mind, Kamal. Planning everything early and everything in advance is important. Take today. We needed to book a conference room. I did not book this conference room. So in the end, it created more chaos for us than need be, and something that we didn't need to have as part of our day because we don't have much time to spend together anyway. So I needed to have made sure that I planned this appropriately and stuck with the plan. We have to stick with plans. If you don't plan things, you miss out. You do miss out on things that could be detrimental to the difference between success and not success, and not being a success. So planning in advance does matter. And when you know things, you know how to prepare for them. Not to say that everything is going to be on point. We had some challenges here in Dallas a couple of weeks ago that I'm quite sure everybody knows about. We won't mention what those challenges were, but we had challenges. And we had already planned ahead, but we couldn't go through with what our plans were because of the situation at hand. And so that didn't work out. But at the same time, knowing that we had that plan in advance and knowing what was on the docket, we took other precautionary measures to implement or replace what we would have missed if we would not have missed if we were able to get to the office.
Yeah, I definitely agree. Planning in advance is something that is very necessary, but it oftentimes gets a little bit of backlash because of this idea of being able to go with the flow. That is something that I also very much agree with. The ability to adapt to a situation is extremely important, but there has to be a fine line and a balance between planning and adapting. And being able to plan in advance four different outcomes is just as necessary as being able to adapt to a situation. So, like you had said, with everything that happened in Dallas these past couple of weeks, we had some plans that didn't work out, but we were able to adapt to those plans. Mm-hmm. And planning in advance also includes planning the need to adapt to a situation. And that, like I said, those two go there's a very fine balance between the two, and meeting that sweet spot is what I think is really going to push you towards success, because if you know how to react to a situation, that's going to be very useful. But also knowing, okay, here are the different possibilities that could happen. Let's make sure that we have a solution for anything that comes our way is also extremely necessary.
Okay. That is good too. I can't think of anything else we could top that with on planning everything in advance. Other than, well, I take that back. Now that I say that, homework. When you're in college, a lot of students will wait until the last minute to plan their homework assignment. No, don't do that. I was talking to a class this week, and I said to them, "You have to bank your time. You bank your success. And how you bank your success is do those things that you know are going to help you get your A, if that's what you're driving for it, an A. Do those things in advance. Do your papers in advance. Do things that you know that the instructor has already provided you the syllabus for and get them done. You don't know what could happen. There could be an ill family member. So many things happen while students are in school. And unfortunately, we don't have a take a vacation day while school is in session. And we'll get back to that when we finish. We have to act as if this was a client. I am my own client. I have to do the things I need to do in order to be successful, in order to get approval from my instructor. So plan so that you are not being planned. I like that. And we could talk more about that. But as we wrap up our show today, let's remind ourselves of the four themes that we had in this part one of our series on skills that radically improve your life. And that's scheduling around your energy, looking successful, getting started early, and planning everything in advance. That's our show for today. And Kamal and I would like to thank you for joining us for Career Advancement Radio. We're here in Dallas. And again, today our sponsor was Carol Back & Associates. Thank you.